Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
That's right. Here we are on this Giancarlo Stanton return day.
Oh, I saw that.
He's back.
He's back?
He's back in the Yankees lineup tonight.
He had, double elbow?
Yeah, like elbow tendonitis.
Tendonitis or something?
Yeah,
elbows. They were blaming it on the torpedo bat or...
Hey, that stuff lasts a long time.
Oh, yeah.
It like, it just lingers.
Yeah, tendonitis sucks.
Terrible.
Yeah. Horrible. No bueno.
And but he's back.
And when you swing as hard as that guy does, I'm assuming that, like, I mean, there's you can't come back and decide to swing halfway. I don't know what you do on that. Plus, he's always hurt. The dude's, he looks like a Greek god, but he's made of glass.
Well, we are talking about the U.S. Open. Dr. Spahn. J.J. Spahn.
J.J.
Putts of 40 feet, 22 feet, and 64 feet over the last five holes.
Ridiculous.
He made them all.
Yeah. Well, I guess, and he needed two of those three that had to go in.
Yeah.
Because that last one that he hit, and people are right, he got a very good read, was Hovland that had it before him. But still.
Yeah, but still to make that
That's
putt?
A ridiculous putt. And you know, he just lagged that. He knew he needed to get down in two, but still.
It kind of had a little speed on it.
Yeah, I know. Like
if that didn't go in.
You're like, oh, is that going to be one of the, like, well, little meat left on that bone.
Playoff.
Yeah.
Playoff. Well, the other element out there was after the delay, they had a delay.
Playoffs.
Sam Burns and Adam Scott both just absolutely crapped their pants.
Yep.
And, you know, this is one of those where it's like, hey, they all had to play in the same conditions. Mm. They all had the same stop and start, same amount of time, and J.J. Spahn handled it, and the other guys didn't.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much as simple as that.
Yeah.
That said, you know, I thought both Scott and Burns were pretty classy in how they handled that, because they were both, you could tell they both wanted to say, look, that was...
unfair.
It was unplayable.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's unfair. It's just like it's not the true test. Like, you know, they want to finish that tournament.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of eyeballs are on it. I get it. It's a huge event and everybody's watching. So you want to get them back out there. But at the same time, could they have waited another, I don't know, could they waited a little more time and gotten the course a little bit more playable? Well,
and they were saying, too, that, you know, a lot of the places at Oakmont, the ball tends to funnel down into the same spot. So there was at least twice that you were watching Burns not only hit out of a, and if you've ever played at some place that's really wet, like around here, I always think about like Heron Lakes. If you've ever played at Heron Lakes when it's wet, what do you do?
Pumpkin Ridge gets like that.
Does it get like that?
In the winter, yeah.
You know, and so not only is he hitting from a marsh, but he's hitting out of a divot because the ball has funneled down into where someone else was.
And yeah, he had two divots, right?
Yes.
And you say he had two shots out
two
of divots?
Two shots that were in divots, and that was the one where Van Pelt, that was the one on 15 where he doubled.
15 where the divot was filling with water.
Yes, when someone left, or as soon as he left, someone went and said, hey, this is the divot that Burns had to hit of, and all he did was lightly put his foot on the other side, and the divot literally like a fountain spring came up, and you're like, how are you supposed to hit out of that?
So a golf pro looked up the rule, and it says USGA rule 16.1 says you get free relief from casual water if it affects your ball's lie, stance, or swing. Doesn't matter if the water's visible or if it squishes underfoot. If there's enough video evidence Sam Burns' ball was in casual water, like saturated ground on that fairway, he should have gotten a drop.
And he didn't.
Well, he got two opinions.
Yes.
And they both would not let him drop. And so he said, okay, it's not my decision. decision. I'll play it. Well, he ended up double bogey in the hole. And it really cost, I mean, you could say that he did not play well after the restart.
Well, he went.
But that cost him the tournament.
So he went 15, he went double, then bogey, and then had a birdie, and then he bogeyed and thanks for
but
coming.
He was already kind of
toast. He was already, yeah. I mean, his back nine, birdie, double, bogey, par, par, double, bogey, birdie, bogey.
What'd he shoot there?
He shot a 40.
40.
You're not. Although Spahn, I think, had a 40 going in. I think his front nine, I think, was a 40 going out. So
yeah, the start, the restart changed everything.
Yeah.
And then how then they handled the water. And Spahn obviously did great. And
Spahn did, and Burns
and Scott did not.
Because Scott ended up at, Burns ended up plus four. Scott ended up at plus six.
Yeah, he didn't even top 10.
No.
I just feel like, and I'm not trying to bitch about how that played out. I just feel like under normal conditions, Adam Scott competes for the title at that tournament. Yeah. But under those conditions, he, what'd you say, plus six?
Plus, he had nine bogeys on his round, one of those being a double. And when you look at Scott's card, and there's one green.
He hit one green?
No, there's one birdie. One, you know, when you look at the scorecard, you know, they do it. The green is the birdie, red's the bogey, and blue's the double. And you look at Scott's card, and it ain't good. A lot of red, and as many blue as there were green. Like, you're not gonna win.
I didn't have any juice on him, but I was kind of pulling for him.
Yeah.
For Scott?
That have been his... Cause
Adam Scott.
Is he won one or two?
He's won one.
He won the Masters, right?
Yeah, Masters,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you and I were talking numbers after round two, and I grabbed an Adam Scott ticket at 16-1. Was feeling pretty good going into Sunday, but not great after.
Well, his numbers look good, but again, like I said, I think he competes for that if the conditions stay the way they were.
Yeah.
It's just it kind of got a little weird there.
Yes, it did.
And look, he didn't handle it very well, and neither did Burns, and that's that.
It's the one thing you say about the U.S. Open is that Oak. I had a buddy text me and goes. There was like maybe six or seven holes left. He said, who you got? And I said, Oakmont.
Yeah,
Oakmont.
Exactly.
It won.
Can you imagine playing that course every day? Like, that's your course?
No. No.
Because they love to play it that way.
Like, who would want to?
They love it. All the members, it's a private club.
Yes.
Yeah.
But all the members there, it's one of the hardest courses in the country. Everybody knows that. It was built for that. And they love playing it.
I don't know, man. Like, the closest thing...
I guess your handicap would travel pretty well.
Yeah.
You play that every day.
I have a buddy of mine that lives, a very good friend of mine that lives in Bend on Broken Top. And the course next to them is Tetherow. And look, I'm not a good golfer by any stretch of the imagination. When I break 90, it's a good day, right? But when you play Tetherow, because he actually decided to move to Broken Top... specifically because of that. He played both, and he goes, why would anyone want to play Tetherow? Because it's, if you've ever played that course, it's kind of just a kick in the nuts. Unless you are just a scratch golfer, and even for that, it is a punishing round. Why would you want to do that to yourself? I do not understand that mentality, but yeah, I guess they love to go join
Oakmont.
Did you see the locker room after supposedly Wyndham Clark got a hold
Windy.
Of it? Yeah.
Got a little pissed off.
Has that been confirmed?
That's what I read.
It seems widely understood it was him who did it.
Apparently. Yeah. So Oakmont's one of the oldest country clubs in the United States, and it's beautiful. The lockers are old-time wood, and they've got maybe a linen sort of like front to them, like a cloth. It really nice. Think like antique furniture. And I guess...
He kicked two of them in.
Guess Wyndham Clark just went in
there. Looks like your grandma's sideboard cabinet or something like that.
Yes, Wyndham Clark went in there and decided to put his foot in someone's ass about the state of Oakmont. So we had Rory smashing tee boxes. We got
tee markers.
Yeah.
He also threw a couple clubs and had one of them bounce back to him. Did you see that great video?
Yeah. Graham McDowell said, this is minimal regarding what I've seen other players do. Players you would never expect. Oakmont will test any player's mental fortitude. Seen it in person. Guess who? 2016. So that was Graham McDowell talking. He posted that based on the picture of Wyndham Clark.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I'm guessing that's true.
Yes.
In golf locker rooms.
And who do we think that was? Because I think they were referencing in the comments who it could be. Was it Lowry?
Well, he said, guess who? 2016. Yeah. So that would have been, because that was the year Dustin Johnson won it.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know, but this year Lowry
maybe it was him.
Lowry was on the verge of a meltdown. Like,
oh yeah,
it's in the first two rounds.
He dropped a hot mic. F this place,
dude. He was.
Did you catch that?
They all hate it.
He was fired up.
They can't say it. Rory wanted to say it too. You could see he is like, dude, this place sucks because they think those guys are so spoiled and pampered that they think that if they hit the ball right where they want to, it's a bit like Tethero.
Yes.
That
it should work.
It should work out. And there it does not.
Yes.
Balls roll down into the rough or they hit the, they're like right up against the collar. Yeah. And Rory was so frustrated with that. Now, to his credit, he hung in there. He actually made the cut and he top 20'd. Yeah. He played really well over the weekend.
Yes.
I wanted to play for you a little bit of audio before we move on of him, because you were talking about how he was, I think, one. The cut line was +7.
And he was right there.
And he was +8. And he had maybe 4 or 5 holes left.
Yeah. And we were
talking like, dude, he ain't making the cut because he knows he's not winning the tournament. Yeah. So he'll just miss the cut intentionally to go home. A lot of guys do yes. that.
That's what we call the 3-2-1 Cancun. I'm not going to compete. I don't need the money. I can't win.
I feel terrible. I hate this course. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm done. Take my bogeys and walk away.
He ended up making 2 birdies to get to +6, and the cut ended up staying at +7. So he made the cut, believe it or not, with a shot to spare, or actually 2 shots to spare. But they asked him about that after his final round.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, it's much easier being on the cut line when you don't really care if you're here for the weekend or not. You know, I was sort of thinking, do I really want 2 more days here or not? So it makes it easier to play better when you're in that mindset.
So how about that?
Wow, he admitted it.
So he was thinking that.
Yeah.
But he also did not purposefully miss, right? Like he was thinking, I don't really want to be here. But then he's like, all right, fine, I'll just birdie because it's just easier. Yeah, you know, like free and easy, which I thought was odd.
Yeah. I had not heard that he admitted. It's easy when you don't want to be here for 2 more days. Because that's the thing.
Because you would think if you don't want to be here for 2 more days, you would just mail it in.
Because that has to just be, that course is just punishingly difficult. And why would you want to subject yourself to it when you know you're not going to win and you don't need a top 20 finish? It's not, you know.
Well, I tell you, to his credit, and he's getting a lot of crap right now because he ducked the media again.
Yeah.
And he said in that same interview we just talked about the cut line, he said, I feel like I've earned the right to do whatever I want.
Pretty much. He said, I'll talk to you basically when I want to talk to you.
Yeah, and he's frustrated with the
that
media.
That may be coming up in Stock Watch.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, he's frustrated with the media. I don't really know why he's so frustrated, but he is. Unlike Burns and Scott, who stood there like men and answered the questions, he did not. And so a lot of people hate that, and they're pissed off at him about it. But he, you know, to his credit, he was pissed. He hated the course. Yeah. He hates the media for some reason. And he nutted up and went out there. And I think he was one of the better players over the last 2 days in the whole tournament.
Yeah.
So you got to give him a little bit of credit.
Shout out to Rory.
All right, Stockwatch, what we're buying and selling for the weekend in sports next on The Fan.
It's primetime Stockwatch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Soup buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stockwatch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, here is our favorite, probably our favorite sprint try Clyde. Finished 3rd among Clydesdales.
More than likely our favorite Clydesdale.
More than likely.
I do need to bring up another point on that, and I thought it was going to come up earlier. It did not. So when I told you guys and my family that I finished 3rd, my dad's first question was, well, 3rd out of how many? 3.
What? There were only three Clydesdales
in the sprint try.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I finished third of three.
Well, that changes everything.
Well, it changes a little bit.
No. I still finished
ahead of 40 people and 17 dudes.
He is your favorite Clydesdale.
Okay.
So one of the other two is your favorite?
Well, it depends on who they are.
Buckley, I don't think you did not need to bring that up.
I didn't. I think it makes it better.
Boy, when you said third out of all the Clydes, I thought maybe like third out of 50.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it might be third out of like six or seven, because in my group that went out at the same time, it was 45-year-old males, like regular division, and all Clydesdale males. And there were probably 25 or 30 of us in the water. And I thought maybe a third were Clydesdales. It was just three of us. But I finished ahead of about 40 competitors in the sprint try and 13 or 14 males. So
this happens a lot in jiu-jitsu competitions because everything's by belt and by age and then by weight. And there's plenty of times that people will go and they lose. It's one and done. You lose and you're out.
And you get second place.
I see it all the time where someone loses their first match and they end up on the podium with like third, and you're, and hey, you know what? They're up there with their third place medal and no one says anything, but it's in stuff like this, that is more common than you realize.
And so
Buckley, you're still my bronze guy.
They start I was curious who had the fastest time in our Clydesdale group, and I had no idea how many people. And I heard him say the winner was like an hour 42, and then I just tuned out because there was no way that I placed. And then my stepdad goes, "Dude, they just said you got third," and I was like, "What?"
Yeah.
And I go over, I'm like, "There must be a mistake," but I heard I got third, and they're like, "Oh yeah, says right here, third place." And I was like, all right. And then about 2 hours later, when I checked the full results board, did I realize
I would like to announce that I took fourth.
You did, technically.
Technically, I finished fourth in the Clydesdale.
Fourth's up for debate.
Can I also offer that, why would they give medals? Okay, so there's...
I don't know.
You know, like, there's only
three. I didn't need a medal.
Yeah, well, but they gave a medal for last place, but call it third.
They don't know how many people they're going to sign up, so every group gets a medal.
Every group they award
three. And it just so happens that only three people signed up. Therefore, Buck finishing, he gets bronze.
That's fine, except that I think if I'm the head of the sprint try...
Mm-hmm. You're just eliminating bronze?
Okay, correct. So how about this? There are only two competitors in the non-binary field. Does that mean the second place
one
person
medal
also got last?
Yes, it does. Yeah. And there's one medal. And one medal only.
But there were two. They gave away one to the last place.
Yeah, they're cowards.
Sounds like you should run the show next year.
I think so.
I'm still counting him as my bronze god.
Hey, we're still happy
you
for
you. You earned that medal.
As my friend Jordan pointed out, there were hundreds of other Clydesdales who didn't even show up to the event. So
right.
I'll take that.
They're a bunch
good
of
point.
Cowards.
Good point.
Let's get into some Stockwatch. We were talking about Rory and his presser about not wanting to be around the weekend, or maybe wanting to be around the weekend but not being so into it. Here's what Rory had to say on why he hasn't been talking with the media.
No, not really. It's more a frustration with you guys. But yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been totally available for the last few years, and I'm not saying maybe not you guys, but maybe more just the whole thing. But it's not as if, like, at Augusta I skipped you guys on Thursday, so it's not as if it's not out of the ordinary. I've done it before. I'm just doing it a little more often. I feel like I've earned the right to do whatever I want to do. Yeah.
Wow.
Buy or sell that as the face of the PGA Tour, Rory has earned the right to do whatever he wants to do.
This has always been my one. It is a constant bee in my bonnet. It is a gripe that so many of these guys, and I get it, nothing is given to them. They earn every bit of it. But you are fortunate enough to play in a sport that has made you rich beyond your wildest dreams. The fans love you and adore you, which is why you have this money, and a big reason why the money is what it is because of the media attention. And the least you can do is have a set of balls or ovaries for the females to stand up, win or lose. Because when you win, now here's the thing: if you win the Masters and you don't want to do media, you're just like, hey, like Marshawn Lynch, I respect. Win or lose, I don't want to do this. But you can't stand up there at Butler's cabin.
And did he skip media after the Masters?
Exactly.
No, he did not.
Exactly. So if you do that, then have some huevos and stand up when you lose or you don't play well. And all these people that get so butthurt over questions, dude, I get it. There's morons in this media that can drive you crazy. But the way you handle it, to me, it says a lot more about you than it does about the idiot asking the question. My God. And when you do get upset, it leads me to believe that there's an element of truth to it, which is why it's in your bonnet. So I like Rory. In fact, I really, really like Rory. But that crap, that never sits well with me.
Yeah, I sell it. You can't do whatever you want.
No.
Even when you're Rory, even when you're Tiger. So you still have responsibilities.
Yes.
I don't really understand why the media is so bothersome to these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, grow up. Like,
yes, that's
it's
my
not,
point.
It's just not that. I don't know. Of all of the things that they go through as high level golfers, and it is a grind.
This is what gets you?
That the fact that the media trips them up so much. I think it kind of shows a little bit of weakness. Yeah. It's a little bit of softness.
I'm surprised that having to do this as often as they do, that it's not easier for them to just say, you know what, I'm not going to get into that today, and just move on. I mean, Marshawn Lynch did the next question. I'm just here so I don't get
fired.
Like,
exactly,
you
is
can
his
pass
problem?
Through it without like making it a deal.
But what's
you've
his problem?
It.
Seriously, dude, the media loves you. You're Rory McIlroy. Everybody loves Rory McIlroy.
And now they want to talk to you
problem?
When you have a bad round or a bad driver just, and you can't handle it?
I don't really get it. I'd also like to state, this is the first time that I've had this thought. What if that dude's going to live?
Wow. Like, that is a ultimate, like, John Cena heel turn. He goes to live and takes, like, $500 million.
Definition I mean, of a heel
he
turn.
He just won the Masters. They're offering him a $500 million. Yeah. He hates the media on the tour. He hates being the face of the tour. What if he goes to live?
You know what? There's... I'll laugh. I will laugh my ass off. You know what?
It'll make sense why he's so jammed up.
It
exactly.
Will. No media.
That's what
ever.
I'm saying. Like, I wonder if that's why he's bothered.
I'm here for it.
That would be the biggest D move of all time.
Well, let's stay at Oakmont. Obviously, a unique course, a difficult course. One of the standout features, the church pew bunker. Here's the broadcast and specifically Brad Faxon talking about that.
One of the great images, most iconic images in golf.
I think it is. You know, we talked about that with Arnold Palmer a little bit yesterday, and the players cannot drive it over there. You can just see a little bit of them on the left side for Scott.
Buy or sell that Faxon talked about it with Palmer yesterday. Side note, Palmer has been dead since 2016.
Wait. What did I miss here?
Whoops. You just said he had a conversation with Arnold Palmer yesterday about the church pews.
Can you play that
one
again?
One of the great images, most iconic images in golf.
I think it is. You know, we talked about that with Arnold Palmer a little bit yesterday, and the players cannot drive it over there. You can just see a little bit of them on the left side.
Is he,
Scott.
So
no, he's saying we discussed this on the show about Arnold yesterday.
Okay.
Said, I think is
maybe
what
he said with and he meant to say about.
He knows Arnold Palmer.
or who does he think he talked to yesterday?
Did he talk to Arnie's ghost?
Yeah. It's possible. Maybe there was. Is there a seance that we're not aware of? And boy, that's rough.
Yeah, I think he just kind of.
He probably was just phrasing, but very much seemed like he talked to someone who died 9 years ago.
Certainly, I could see where that got awkward for you know, like whoever he's talking to is like, what?
So you're going to sell that he did not talk to Arnold Palmer yesterday?
I'm going
to
sell.
He did not.
Over to the Diamond, blockbuster deal in baseball, and it happened or was discussed on Dodgers Giants Sunday Night Baseball with Clayton Kershaw.
Another number for you. So 1-for-4, 3 strikeouts, 2018 World Series, you against Rafael Devers.
Yeah, how about that trade? That's wild. Buster's really doing it. Not only Buster Posey's really doing it over there. Good, you know, good for Buster, man. He's going for it. You know, I'd consider Rafi one probably, you know, top 10 hitters in the game at worst. You know, so he's definitely a game changer. Be interesting to see what position he plays over there. I know they have a big prospect at first base coming, so it'd be interesting to see if he plays first. Obviously, they have Matt Chapman, who's one of the best in the game at third. So if he's just DH for however long that contract is, he's. I don't even know what they gave up. I know Harrison was supposed to pitch today, so
he's a good one.
But I don't know, man. It makes him better right now for sure.
Well, Clayton Kershaw likes it. Buy or sell? The Rafael Devers trade makes my team better than your teams.
No.
Well, your team's already better than my team.
The Mets are quite good. So
yeah, it doesn't make them better than the Mets.
It doesn't make them better than the Mets. But it is surprising that, and that is, like, however you want to slice him, that is a top, that's a top 10 hitter in Major League Baseball. He's a pain in the ass, and he got off to a horrid start, but dude, he's hitting 272 with 15 and 58 after a horrid start. I don't know what boss, I mean, I guess the relationship was just so fractured.
Yeah, he pissed them off.
I think they pissed him off too. But that's a big get.
Well, he was the one. Remember, if you don't know the story, they got. He's been there. He's like, yes, been their face, and yeah, they went out and got Alex Bregman
that plays his position.
And Devers was like, "I'm not moving from third base." So yeah, they pissed right in his pot, yes, and then he was a bitch about it. And they're like, "Well, you're being a bitch about it, so now we're going to trade you." Yeah.
Well, no, remember, so he moved to DH and was like, "Fine, I'm going to stop being a bitch," and now he starts raking. And then their first baseman gets hurt, and they're like, "Hey, I know you've never played first base, but now you're going to go play first base." And he's like, "No, I don't know what I'm doing. You already moved me once. You gave me $300 million. You said I'm the face of the team. You moved me, and now you're like, 'F you, go learn a new position.'" So, like, look, I get you got to do the team first stuff, but he's got a legitimate gripe there in Boston, and now he's going to go.
Well,
to the,
let's see what happens, because Matt Chapman's hurt, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
yeah,
no.
Matt Chapman.
I think he's playing. I think Chapman's playing.
I thought he was hurt.
Did he just go down?
Because
he was playing recently.
Should you not know that?
I should
know
that.
Are you a Giants fan?
I hardly watch Giants baseball. I watch Giants baseball.
So he's going to play in place of Matt Chapman then? Or he'll just DFA?
No, I think he's going to play first base. Because they DFA'd Lamont Wade Jr.
Well,
and
I thought Flores played first base.
What's that? Well, Flores can also. I think it's going to be a combination of DH and first base.
Are you
I do
really
not
really a Giants fan.
I do not think it will be third base.
Okay. Well, yeah, because Chapman's a great third baseman.
Chapman's one of the best, and yes, Devers by numbers one of the worst third basemen.
But he, yes, can play D. I mean, he can be the DH, right?
Yeah, because they're they're doing like a. I thought I saw that they're basically platooning at first base. They're,
yeah,
rotating guys through. But do you really want to piss off the guy that? Just put him at DH.
Initial reports are that he's open to both DH and first base.
Can I just
them,
say
so.
That there's something about, maybe it's the ballpark, I just feel like he's not going to do anything for you guys.
It's, well, possible.
I saw this fun stat. Would you care to guess the last person in that Giants organization to hit 30 home runs?
Ooh.
Fun stat.
Well, 30?
30.
Is it Barry Lamar Bonds?
Is it Bonds?
It's Bonds.
Wow.
Yeah. That ballpark is not
it's,
so.
It's, yeah.
So all the little cheap doubles that he got off of the Green Mon. Look, he's going to be fine. He's going to
rake. He's a good hitter, but.
But
they've had reason. They've had a really hard time signing power bats for like a decade,
yes,
because of this exact thing.
Yes.
People's home run totals go down there. Yeah. They just do. And so
it's a little
they
bit
haven't
like,
been
it's
able.
It's a little bit like the Mariners.
And so, but getting someone in a trade, I think, is big deal for Giants fans because they've only been able to homegrow their power and have not been able to sign anybody. So.
Okay. Well, Kyle Harrison,
Jordan Hicks.
Hicks,
a couple
who's,
prospects.
Whatever, a couple kids, yeah. I don't know. They didn't get that much for him, but.
No. Well, and that's what happens when, you know.
It was mostly that San Francisco was willing to eat all the money. They got 8 more years on that giant deal. Yeah.
Hey, that's our Stock Watch brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, or child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. Call 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. No more warnings. You're getting a ticket next time. That's next on In the News, but first, Buck with SportsCenter.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, welcome back. It is Monday. It's Monday. Big Monday show. Right now, June 16, 2025. Time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National Tortilla Day.
Oh, all right. Nice tortilla. Who doesn't enjoy a nice tortilla? Make a burrito, maybe a little soft taco, quesadilla.
Mm.
I don't know the difference between any of those, but they're all wonderful.
I love a good quesadilla.
Yeah.
Simple. Kind of kid food, but...
Yeah, a little chicken, a little cheese, you know.
Every once in a while, I'll order one of those.
It's a nice appetizer.
Yeah. Or,
you know, something.
Yeah, it's not a real meal.
It's not a real meal.
Beef burritos.
It's also World Sea Turtle Day. So shout out to all you sea turtles out there listening.
Do you ever get fascinated, like, if you're, like, doom scrolling? And two things that have come across my feed that I don't know why.
What does doom scrolling mean?
Like, nothing. You're just killing time.
Oh.
You know? Whether it's, you know, Instagram or, you know, Facebook or Twitter, whatever. You're randomly scrolling. And two things that have got me, and I don't know why, but now my algorithm knows that I like them. One is... horse hoof maintenance. What is it? Farriers? That I can't stop watching. And the other one is when they take the sea turtles and they remove, like, the barnacles from their shells. Have you seen those?
No.
They pull up these, like, giant sea turtles and they're covered in these, you know, they're covered in, like, these big barnacles, and they take, like, screwdrivers and they, like, pop them off, and it's like a Dr. Pimple Popper thing, but for turtles. And I can't stop watching. You'll get me for like 10 minutes just watching them clean sea turtles. And then they like scrub them down and get them all like all shined up. And then they send the sea turtles out. And I love them. I can't stop watching these damn sea turtle videos.
Like a little sea turtle car wash.
Yes. I can't stop.
I like turtles.
Oh, they're adorable.
They're great.
I like turtles.
Well... We've got some bad news, Jace.
We do.
Do you work in the factory at Intel?
I do not.
Good. Because Intel notified its factory workers this weekend that it intends to begin laying off 15 to 25% of its workers.
Yeah, that's a lot of folks.
Next month.
Yeah.
That's an enormous cutback.
Yeah, it is.
And it will have a big effect on their headquarters here in Oregon.
Yeah. Do we know why just they...
Oh, I'm guessing money.
Money. I don't know if there was any sort of specific reason. I saw that the one I saw was said 20% workforce reduction. I do know a couple of people that do work out there, and I don't know if they know they're okay or whatever. But like when Nike does this, do you reach out to anyone you know? Because I always find that weird. I don't want to do like, hey, good luck.
I won't unless I hear about it.
Yeah,
them specifically.
Yes, it's always it's tough when you hear about.
It's kind of an unspoken thing.
Yeah, a massive layoff like that. Like,
although I feel like everybody at Nike is always waiting for the guillotine.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Quite possibly more than 10,000 jobs will be lost here.
Brutal.
At Intel. No more warnings. You will be getting a ticket from now on, you scofflaws.
You sons of bitches.
For what you ask.
We will kill you graveyard dead or write you a ticket.
Well, if you are a dog owner and you let your dog off the leash,
good.
They are going to give you tickets.
Good.
They don't like you.
It drives me nuts because you always get the person that's like, my dog is well behaved.
Every time.
You don't know that.
Every interaction between dogs is different than the one before.
Thank you.
Just because your dog is good with most dogs doesn't mean it's going to be good with my dog. Mine's on a leash. Put yours on one.
Yeah, you always got to be careful. With the off-leash dogs.
Yes.
And there's always somebody with their dog off-leash, which I respect that we're very dog-friendly here.
Yes.
And, you know, look, if you're at a park and there's no one else around...
Yes.
And
there's playing, a time and place.
You're playing ball with your dog. It's fun. It doesn't bother me. But at the same time, yes, that what you just mentioned is a big thing. Like, these dogs don't always interact so well together, and it's just a recipe for disaster. So just put your dog on a leash if you see another dog. But now they're saying you're going to get a ticket.
Get a ticket, because I go to places where I know that I can let my dog off leash, right, where there's not anyone else around.
For us, it's the beach. We just let her off on the beach. It's fine.
And I am confident.
Yeah, totally.
I think
the beach is fine.
Yeah, my dog loves everybody. He doesn't have a malicious bone in his body. But I'm also not ignorant enough to know that something weird could happen, and I don't know how your dog's going to react. So the first thing I do when I see, and I always make sure there's a great distance, right? I always make sure wherever I'm at, I can see a long way away. And when I see another dog get within 50 feet of us, the first thing I do, come here, buddy.
Yep.
And we throw the leash on.
Yep.
And then I wait for that person to come next to me or come close. And I always do the, hey, how's your dog? And even when they tell me that it's okay, I'm still not always... I'm looking at it, I'm like,
You make sure the coast is clear first before you proceed. Yeah.
Just this idea that you're like, well, I totally trust my dog, therefore I don't have to have it. I hate that. Drives me nuts.
Rangers, park rangers, they were required to issue a warning before citing you.
Yeah.
Before. Now the city has changed the policy, and the park rangers can go straight to the ticket.
Good. And I'm assuming at their discretion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good.
You always have to have a dog on a leash, except in off-leash areas.
Yeah.
And you must dispose of their little poopies.
Yes.
Or in some cases, big poopies.
Yeah.
And of course,
we would fall under that category. And that's the other one, is because a lot of the times we go out to pretty open areas. And just because you're in an open public area doesn't mean that you don't have to pick up your turd.
Right.
Always.
You always got to clean up after your dog.
It's just not... I feel like 90% of being a pet owner, a decent one, is just having common sense. And people don't have common sense.
And common decency.
And by the way, just because your dog is little doesn't mean that you don't have to have that. Oh, what could my dog hurt? That's not the point, ma'am. I get it. You got a Boston Terrier.
Why does she have to be female?
Half the time, because it's always a ma'am, half the time the dog that's causing problems is your little rat dog that thinks it's king of the world. Leash the damn thing.
Coming up next, I have an update. They still can't find Travis Decker. And a couple of fires out there we got to talk about.
Yeah. Well, we got some rain coming, hopefully, right?
Yeah. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Nice to have you along. We will be talking sports shortly because, well, after all, yeah, we're supposed to.
Sports, right?
But this is in the news for June 16, 2025. A couple of updates. They still can't find Travis Decker.
No.
Which is crazy because they spotted him last week.
Well, they said this dude's like full on like Rambo. My man is fine out in the woods.
Yeah, they believe he is hiding between Ingalls Creek and Eagle Creek.
Some place called, like, they call it the Enchantments?
Yeah, he's in there. It's up by Leavenworth.
Yeah, I'm not going looking for that dude. Killed his family.
Yeah, he sure did.
And I guess he's like a trained, like, army survivalist, and he's got a ponytail, too. Never trust a man in the woods with a ponytail.
Oh, that's bad news.
Yeah, that's right.
Every action movie henchman has a ponytail.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. I'm out.
Well, we've made progress on the Rowena and Ferry fires.
That's good. And we got rain coming this weekend, right? Across the state, so that should...
Yes.
That should help.
So far...
It's called rain. Comes down from heaven.
That's right.
The Rowena fire has burned 3.636 acres in the Columbia River Gorge. It has destroyed 56 homes and 91 additional buildings. Nope. It is 24% contained. Over 700 total personnel continue to battle the blaze. That's a big one.
Yeah. That was the one where the guy said that it felt like the conditions were already like mid-July.
Yep. The good news is that rain is expected across the Pacific Northwest this weekend, mostly west of the Cascades. Forecast models say Rowena fire could see about 0.05 inches. Mm-hmm. So.
That's good. I mean, rain, we need rain.
I mean, any bit any is rain. Good, I guess.
Any rain.
It goes drip, drip.
Get rid of some of the dry conditions out there.
All right. What else do I have for you here? Bloop, bloop, bloop. Oh, hey. Do you like pools?
Yeah. Who doesn't like? Is there anyone that doesn't like pools? I mean, I get people that don't like natural water, but is there anyone that like looks at a nice pool and is like, screw this?
Well, I thought for the longest time in the world that everyone liked comedy to some degree until I heard a woman on a plane say she thinks it's unserious and doesn't like it.
Yeah. Well, I know an individual that doesn't like music.
Yeah.
I just...
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Like, he won't... He only listens to, like, talk. He will not...
If you had to give up music or comedy...
Comedy.
For the rest of your life...
Comedy.
Well, that's tough for me.
Comedy would be hard, but I listen to a lot. I am a full-on, like, I just listen to music all, no matter what I'm doing.
Okay, tougher. Give up listening to music or watching sports?
Well, for the job.
Let's say in a vacuum. Job doesn't Doesn't matter. This is personal preference.
I could give up sports.
I could give up sports.
Really? I think I'd give up music before sports. It would be really hard, but I...
Hey, sports guy.
I think I would.
Boy, he's pushing hard for that midday slot, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Hey, just so everyone knows.
I just wanted you guys to know, I'd give up music.
I'd give up anything before I gave up sports.
You guys are on your way here listening to albums and stuff. I'm listening to, like, podcasts about previewing the finals game five.
Like, so. Again, look at you guys on the, you know, you guys
just
may not
you
take
guys
this
to know,
seriously.
My prep,
you have no idea the amount of work that goes into what you're with
no,
the
no,
show.
No,
that
that's
I'm
not
about
what I'm saying.
Do.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, the pools in Portland open on Friday.
Oh,
and
when's the last time you went to a public pool?
Yeah, not.
Look, and I'm glad they're there, and I know the kids love them and all that, but dude, I don't even like going to like apartment pools for the most part. I couldn't tell you. It's probably been 30 plus years since I was in a public pool outside of like a hotel, right? Then you go to those. I'll, depending on the situation. Well, if there's a lot of kids, that's tough.
I mean, I feel like public or private, a pool is going to have other people in it that maybe you don't want to bathe with, you know?
Yeah.
So it kind of doesn't really matter to me.
I need to know that my pool isn't 35% piss. And I feel like a 3-to-1 kid ratio is probably going to result in a higher urine content than I'm willing to put up with.
Urine, yes, but I tell you what, we go to that adult pool at the Wynn.
Oh, yeah.
And that thing later in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Well, there's a lot of people drinking at that, and you know they're not getting out to use the facilities.
It gets murky and...
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the adult pool, so at least you get some up tops.
Also lots of sweats and lotions. And,
yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Somebody said, thoughts on Great Wolf Lodge?
Oh, my God.
I bet Zook has thoughts.
Absolutely the worst.
If you've ever been to that place, first off, it's all... I've taken my kids there. When we were little, that's where they wanted to go for the birthday, and we went. And the
kids
loved
it. Well, you have to, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't deny the kids the Great Wolf Lodge experience.
But it is, and they do a fine job up there for value and all that, and the kids love it. There's a buffet, the whole deal. It's indoors, and it's 85 degrees with 90% humidity, and I mentioned a 35 to 40% urine content. I believe the water at the Great Wolf Lodge is 75% piss. I truly believe that. It is the strongest chlorine smell in the world. The most concentrated water.
Well, I had to squirt.
Is at the Great Wolf Lodge. And if you've ever been up there long enough, you will get called out of the pool because someone has diarrhea.
What are you going to do? Pee on me? Like, I don't know.
Guaranteed.
Well, it is... If you can avoid it, avoid it.
But when the kids want to go, you go.
The kids.
What would weird me out is that if I was up there, I've probably been to Great Wolf 8 to 10 times over the years with my kids, all for birthdays and things like that. Why are you going there? I would be so concerned if I was up at the Great Wolf Lodge and I ran into like a buddy of mine. I'm like, hey, man, you here with your kids? Nah, just decided to head up for the weekend. I'd be like, all right, time out, man.
Didn't that happen in Eastbound and Down? I swear that was like a plot line at some point with adults and a kid.
If you are
park.
At a Great Wolf Lodge on your own, sans kids, I want an investigation because you are that. There
Put them
is,
on a list.
There is criminal activity that's about to go down or has gone down.
So Portland public pools or parks and rec pools will be open from June 20 to August 22. Just 2 months.
Yeah.
Huh.
Not long, huh?
Not long.
Yeah.
So that's Selwood, Pier Pool, Peninsula Pool, Monta Villa Pool, Grant Pool, and Creston Pool.
Yeah.
I haven't been to any of those.
Nor have I. We used to have one. I don't even know if it's still there. There's one when I was a kid we'd go to. It was in Camas. Camas had a public pool.
And they do have free swims.
Yeah. And I remember as a kid going out there and they had the hottest lifeguard. We called her the Tiki Goddess.
Mm-hmm. You're on Wendy Peppercorn?
Yeah, we had our own, and she was fantastic. And that was like half the reason you'd go out to the campus public pool.
Why did you call her the Tiki Goddess?
She was the lotion that you put on. It smells like that, you know.
Oh, it's like that kind of like coconut oil.
Yeah, she would
whatever.
Be slathered up, and she was like either Hawaiian or she had the Polynesian, and so she just was slathered in that, and she looked and smelled. So good. Like right out of the islands. had that coconut goodness smell to her, and she was the tiki goddess. And I don't think any one of us ever had the balls to talk to her, nor would we've had a chance. But there were many a days just spent in the corner in neck deep water, creepily staring at her. She was wonderful.
Text line says, I saw a kid drop a piece of pizza in the pool at a Great Wolf Lodge and no one did anything about it for an hour until it got scooped up.
Look, I think a pizza in the pool is probably the cleanest thing in that water.
What would you,
do? You could do worse.
If somebody, like if it's your kid, you're probably going and fishing that out. Yeah. But if another kid drops a piece of pizza in the pool, I think everybody goes about their business.
I'm probably just, you know, unless it like floats by you, then you're like, look, we're just moving over to that corner of the pool.
But what's bad about a piece of pizza?
I mean, there's just pizza in your pool.
Yeah, it's just, it's an odd.
But it's not going to hurt you.
No, it's not going to hurt you.
But
just a commentary on where you are.
I could totally see you being in the wave pool and then just getting hit with something and turning around and being like, what's
that pepperoni? Pizza?
You would think, though, that someone would come along with one of those skimmers and, like...
Might take a bite out of it.
How long has it been in there?
How much would you have to get paid to take a bite of Great Wolf Lodge waterlogged pizza?
Ooh, gross.
$5,000. You've taken a bite of that?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But $1,000.
Sure, that's an easy $5,000. Yeah, what?
$1,000?
I mean...
For a grand, you're taking a bite. You're taking it.
It's not going to hurt you. Again.
Probably not.
Think about what's in your... Again, you're in that pool. There's worse stuff that's been in your mouth. It just is. And by the way, when you get done out of those places, your eyes just burn. Which means that you've had 1,000 kids literally pee in your eye socket. That's what that's about.
That is in the news. June 16, 2025, brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Coming up next, a small but needed change and surprise trades in sports over the weekend. We'll get to those when we return on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.